Now, I know some of you are worried. Preacher's only got 8 minutes left. Supposed to get out at noon. I tell you what, I went to Bible school at junior church. I learned how to preach in 10 minutes because that's all juniors give you before they get bored. And I found that most of the time I can get 15 minutes out of the adults and then I lose them. And so this morning I want you to listen real closely. I'm going to read a few verses from Luke chapter 24 and then I'm going to preach one of the shortest sermons you ever heard. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when we was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And the third day rise again. It was early on Sunday morning. They came to the grave. They'd watched him as he was tried. They'd watched him as he hung on the cross. They watched him as he died. They watched as Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took him down and laid him in the grave. They'd watched as they'd rolled the stone across that entrance to the little cave that served as his grave. That was 3 days ago. It was a religious holiday, so they couldn't come back any sooner. But now they'd come. They'd come because I don't believe some of them knew that Nicodemus had brought spices to help Joseph bury him. And so they brought the proper spices, and they were going to unwrap him and put those spices within his grave clothes as they normally did when they buried somebody back in that day. They got to the grave. Something strange had already happened. The stone was rolled away. They went into that little cave and looked around, and his body was gone. I'm sure questions went through their mind. What was going on? What's happened? The Bible says they were much perplexed. And as they were trying to figure out what was happening, two men, the Bible says, stood by them in shining garments, angels, to deliver a message from God. The Bible says they were afraid and bowed down their head to the earth. And the angels asked the question, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. They came looking for a dead man. You find dead men in cemeteries, but not somebody that's alive. They came with burial spices to anoint a corpse. And a corpse needs burial spices. But somebody that's alive doesn't need them. They came to continue their mourning. You mourn over somebody that's dead, but you don't mourn over somebody that's alive. The angel said, You're looking in the wrong place. He's not here. He is not dead. He is risen. And they were looking for Jesus that first Easter Sunday morning, but they were looking more than for just his body. They were looking for what he represented. They were looking for the truth that he presented when he was on the face of this earth. They were looking for that truth that told them how to live this life and how to get along and how to succeed and how to spend their time as they walk the face of the earth. And they were looking for the truth that he embodied in himself. They were also looking for life. They wanted to know why they were here. They wanted to have a purpose for their living. And so they were looking for him because he talked to them about life, not only eternal life, but life more abundant while they were here on this earth. And then they were looking for a third thing. They were looking for a way to God. You see, every single one of us wants that same thing. Every single one of us wants a relationship with God. You were created. You were made by God. And he put that into every single person. A desire to have a relationship with him. A desire to know him. A desire to know that the one that made you and created you and put you on the face of this earth knows all about you and cares for you and watches over you. And they came looking that Easter Sunday morning, yes, for the body of the one that they loved. But they also came looking for what he represented and what he taught and how the example that he lived before them. There are people here this morning looking for the same thing. You're looking for something this morning. Maybe you came this morning and you didn't express that thought. You never said to somebody that you were with, "Hey, I'm going to church this morning. I'm looking for this." But I believe that every single person that's here this morning came looking for something. For something. Maybe you came looking for life. Life. Say, "Well, I'm alive, preacher. I didn't come looking for life. I'm not talking about existence. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about a life that's eternal. I'm talking about a life that will last forever. And I'm talking about the abundant life that Jesus offers to people while we're still here." He said, "I just didn't come to give life. I came to give life abundantly." And so many people are living shallow, empty lives because they're missing the plan that God has for every one of our lives. Look, you were created by the creator of the universe. You were made by him. You just didn't show up on this earth. You are here for a purpose. He has a plan for each one of you. That's life. Is finding what that plan is and living it to its fullest, honoring God in doing it, and enjoying the blessings that he gives. Now, we don't know how to do that on our own, so we need the next thing they were looking for. We need the truth. We need what's in this book. We need to know how to live. You know, I believe in this book is everything that you need to know to live this life. This book is true because it's the word of God. And in this book, we can order our life. In the book of Joshua, it says we ought to meditate in it. We ought to bring it up and chew it almost like a cow does its cud. I mean, we ought to just keep bringing back the word of God and let it soak into our hearts and into our minds, and the truth from the word of God will show us how to live. And then I believe there's many people here looking for that third thing. They're looking for the way to God. The way to God. You see, as we sing about, every single one of us are sinners, and it's our sin that separates us from God. It's our sin that breaks up that relationship that God wants us to have with him. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And on our own, there's nothing we can do on our own. Because the Bible says it's not of works. There's nothing we can do on our own to get back to God. But praise God, he didn't leave it up to us. He sent his son Jesus, as we pictured in the Lord's Supper this morning, to die on the cross. And as he died on the cross, he took all of our sins upon himself and he paid the price. They laid him in the grave and he lay there for 3 days and 3 nights. But that Sunday morning, after the 3 days and 3 nights, he arose. He came back to life and he defeated death and he defeated sin. And that's why in the book of Corinthians, the Bible asked the questions, "Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? You have it no more because Jesus conquered it." Conquered it. He told his disciples in John chapter 14, he said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He's not a way. He's the way. He's not a truth. He is the truth. He is not a life. He is the life. And the only way that you can have that life that he talked about is to come to him. You can't get in any other way. You can't do anything to earn it. You can't do anything to deserve it. The only way that you can get it is to come to him and believe what he did on the cross and believe that he's a living Savior this morning. He's not in the grave anymore. He's not wrapped up in some grave cloth anymore. He's not behind a rock anymore. How do we know he lives? He lives within our hearts. We know. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, we've pictured what He did in the Lord's Supper. We've sung about it with the songs that we sang this morning. You've heard it from the Word of God. I invite you this morning to come and ask Jesus to be your Savior. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin, separation from God. Jesus paid the penalty. If you'll come and ask Him, He'll save you. He'll save you. I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm not asking you to become a member of this church. I'm asking you to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Would you do that this morning? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the many ways that you've showed your love for us as we picture this morning with the Lord's Supper, with the singing, and with the Word of God. And I pray this morning if there's just one person, and I believe there's more than one, but if there's just one person here this morning that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that Holy Spirit right now, in the quietness of this moment, that you would speak to their heart. You would show them that they're a sinner. And you would show them that the only hope that they have is Jesus. He died for them. He rose for them. He lives for them. And I pray, Father, you would help them to come right now and help them to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Just bless this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.